All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Dee Dee's Daily Dose. And today I have a surprise for all of the sneakerheads out there. I am joined with one of the owners of Memory Lane, Mr. Chris.
Chris Smoot.
Mr. Chris Smoot. And so tell us a little bit about you, kind of where you're from. I just really want to pick your brain as like a black entrepreneur.
Okay. So I was born and raised in Bessemer. I was there until I was...
That's the hood, y'all.
Yeah, for sure. Southside, all day. But I was there until I was 18. Then I went off to college. I went to Huntsville for 2 years. And I transferred to Bama. And I finished in 2017 in fashion design, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
How was going to HBCU in Alabama?
I ain't going to you know, I went to UH.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Alabama, Huntsville.
Huntsville.
It's the PWI in Huntsville.
how was it going to a PWI for undergrad?
It was interesting. Super small black community, pretty much. I feel like every black person at the school knew each other because it was like so small, and we had like different parties together and stuff like that. But it was cool. I met a lot of people, all races and colors. Like, I had a friend from Iceland that I'm like still cool with to this day.
I went to Alabama State for undergrad, and now I'm going to UAB. So coming from HBCU to a PWI, it was a really big culture shock.
Nah, for sure. But two of my best friends went to A&M, and I was always over there pretty much every weekend doing something with them. So I got both experiences.
So tell me a little bit about how you grew up in Bessemer and what that was like.
Okay, so I went to the most not hood elementary school in Bessemer. It was hood, but our school had a lot of Hispanics too, and the few white people that were in Bessemer went to that school too. So I feel like that really helped, like, make me culture in like all aspects, because my best friends were Hispanic, like, first years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
That was different from like being around my black friends. I didn't really start hanging around like all black friends until middle school.
And what was that like coming from like a all white or mixed elementary school to?
It was a culture shock for sure. The first day of middle school, I went in the bathroom. It was a dude in there getting slapped into crip in middle school. Right, I'm dead serious.
First day in school.
First day, walked in the bathroom. It's like five dudes in there, and they around this one dude, and they getting slapped by everybody.
How did you feel? Like, were you scared, or were you like, "What the hell?"
I wasn't scared.
Is going
I was just
on?
Looking like, "What the hell y'all doing?" And then they told me, "I said, all right, I'm out."
Did they ask you like, "You want to be a crip?"
Oh, nah. I wouldn't. Nah.
So how was your transition into what high school did you go to?
Bessemer City. Yeah.
Is that the black?
Yeah, that's the only high school in Bessemer.
Okay. Is it mixed or is it more black?
Pretty much all black, some Hispanic, a pinch of white, but not. It's probably like four whites in the whole school.
How was your experience in high school?
Haven't
had like, I guess, the best of like both worlds as far as like culture is concerned with school.
It was cool because, like I said, I went to middle school, and now that was like all like. So how Bessemer is, we got five elementary schools, one middle, and one high. So all five schools go to the middle school, and that's when I start.
That's a big old middle school.
Nah, for sure. We had like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, but that's when I started hanging around like my black friends and stuff like that. So I was used to it by high school, and then high school was high school in the hood.
Did you ever get in like fights or?
Me personally, nah. But I mean, it was fights every single day. It was fights at breakfast time. Like, school didn't even start yet.
Same. I went to Carver.
Okay.
And you just kind of like, why y'all mad at 8 o'clock in the morning? Like, oh my god.
I mean, I'm mad, but not like fighting mad. I just don't
want to be here.
Talk to.
Just take another sip of your wine. It's pretty good.
It is.
So let's fast forward a little bit. Before we deep dive into like your college experience, have you always been like a sneakerhead, like growing up? Were you kind of spoiled, or kind of how was your family background?
So I wasn't spoiled because my mom had 4 birth children, and for some reason when I was like 9, she adopted 5 more.
So 9 kids?
9 of us.
Okay.
So Christmas changed from that year before that into the next year drastically.
Wait, how old were you guys, and then how old were the adopted children?
So,
well, your added siblings.
When that happened, I was like 9. I had a little sister. She was like 4, I believe. And my older sister was 11, and my older brother was like 15, 16. And she adopted kids that were like 4 months to 4 years old.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but now all of them like 18 older, 17 older. Yeah.
That is so interesting. Fun fact, I grew up in foster care. Okay, so like cool. One of the things that I really want to do is maybe adopt or foster. Well, I kind of have.
Nice.
That's a story for another day. Okay, so your mom adopted the additional 5 kids, and you said Christmas started to change. How was that? Oh my gosh.
So it started, like at first I tell her what I want, and she just by hers ever. Like Christmas was jumping. Then the next year, she started giving us like a limit, like a $200 to $300 limit. I wasn't used to that.
What did your mom do for a living? She sounded like she was...
So starting out, she was a secretary at the Bessemer school system. And then she went to, she was a postmaster at the post office. Now she owns her own business across the street from my business.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Oh my God. I actually saw my building for rent when I was at her place one day.
That's
how I saw it.
Is she your inspiration?
One of them for sure. She's a big one for sure. Yeah.
What would be the other?
Man, a lot of people, like big people like Jay-Z and stuff like that. It's a lot. It's like I'd be talking about if I start naming, so. Just people in business, pretty much.
So I know you mentioned your relationship with your mom. How's your relationship with your dad?
Growing up, it was cool. It was like on and off. Like I talked to him probably once a month or see him like once a month. But we didn't talk that much. But as I got older, we started coming closer. But he died in 2020. But before then, me and him were like, we started getting super close. We started like going out and having drinks together and stuff like that.
I'm sorry for your loss.
That's all good. Appreciate it.
Let's take a break. Okay, so we're back. And now we're going to shift gears just a little bit because I want to know about your college experience.
So I didn't even pick my college until 2 months before school started. Like, after I graduated, I had no idea where I was trying to go. All my friends were either going to A&M or State. And I was about to go to A&M. Until I seen their, I took a visit and seen their like dorms and seen how they were set up, and I was like, I couldn't do that.
There's
one shower on the, you know what I'm saying, for the whole hall to go to, and they like share space and all that. I couldn't do that.
Weren't used to sharing spaces with your 8 siblings?
Yeah, but I've always been in the shoes and stuff, so I had a lot of shoes and clothes, and it was kind of valuable, and I didn't want to put that in jeopardy.
You definitely would have been, because I went to ASU. My freshman year, this guy went around breaking into everybody's dorms. See? He stole their TVs and their shoes. And he was like crazy. So he'll be walking around with your shoes on and dare you to say something.
It's different. And I chose UH because my sister was already there. And I took a visit there and seen their dorms. And they had their own individual rooms on the side of the living room. Like, they shared a living room space. But it was 2 rooms on the side of that with their own shop and stuff like that. So that was much better situation. And then she was there, so I feel like if I ever get hungry, I fill up on her and get fed and stuff like that. So that's the only reason I really chose that school.
How was your love life in college? Like, how would you describe that?
My love life was, that's a good question. I've never been asked that. To be honest.
Were you wild?
Nah, to be honest, I didn't even have sex my first 2 years of college, to be honest. Well, not at college, like when I come home and stuff, but at UH, I didn't have sex.
Why not?
I don't know.
Was it the people? Was it the girls? Lack of diversity?
Looking back, that probably was the reason, but it was a lot of good-looking black sisters there. You know what I'm saying?
Black sisters,
you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just didn't. I mean, I got close a few times, more than a few, but it just didn't happen like that. I don't know.
No. So then you transitioned, and then you went to UA.
Yeah.
Which is the University of Alabama, Roll Tide.
Yep.
So what was your experience like there?
The only reason I really transferred was because I was undecided for my major for the first 2 years. So I didn't pick a major until I saw my advisor, and she was like, I took every
prerequisite.
Yeah, that class that I can take without having a major. Mm-hmm. So I just had to pick some. And the first I picked marketing, then like that. Then I changed it the next semester to like business management, then like that. And that's when I transferred. Because I like shoes and clothes, so I either was going to do clothing design or shoe design.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose clothing design. I was searching what schools had it, and Bama had it. So, yeah.
What sparked your interest in like clothing and shoes? Because you not only like sell clothes and stuff, like you a pretty snazzy dresser too.
I appreciate it, okay. I'll say my older brother, he always been like, people know him for like getting dressed, like being clean and stuff like that. So seeing that and seeing how girls and like his homeboys and stuff like looked at him because of that made me want to dress better, I guess.
So after college, what was your first job or like your first way to make money? Or have you ever had like a real job?
Yeah, of course. Come on now. All right, so my first job was in high school. Every summer, I work at schools during like summer school, and I'd be in the lunchroom making sandwiches. And
a lunch man.
Yeah, stuff like that. Every summer from 9th grade to 12th grade. Then once I graduated, the summer after my first semester, after my first year of college, I worked at Dollar General Warehouse. That's when I realized that like hard labor wasn't for me.
What?
But I ain't quit. I did my whole 3 months, and I told them, I put in my 2 weeks notice and told them I was going back to school, and they actually pushed me back to going to school. So I'm like, yeah, this ain't for me.
What made you be like, or feel like, okay, this hard labor, this backbreaking work is not for me? Because you know, society feel like
for sure.
A man's supposed to be working his fingers to the bone. Nah, that's back in the day.
It's 2022. I'm trying to kick our feet up. But, so when I took the interview, they told me it was going to be from like 6 p.m. It was night shift, but from 6 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. My first month, first 30 days, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Really? And what was it supposed to be initially?
6 p.m. to 2:30 a.m.
Okay, so 4 hours of overtime every day.
Every single day. And
Mandatory,
yeah.
And slavery.
For a person whose first real job was there at like 18 to 19, 5-6 days a week.
But were you kind of looking at the pay like, you know what, I'm like, you know,
that's what gave me fun, because it was like, at the time it was like $500 a week. Now it's more than that what they make, but back then,
that's a lot for ATL.
A lot for me, for sure. So I was balling, but I couldn't enjoy it because I come home, go to sleep, and when I wake up, it's time to go to work. I sleep the whole time until it's time to go back to work. And one day I was at work like falling asleep while I was working, and that was like scary because there it's like some things you drive, I forgot what they call, but they're dangerous if you're not paying attention. Like, I know a dude got his leg ran over and crushed all of that.
Really?
Yeah. So I was falling asleep while I was working, and that was scaring me because I'm like,
how did you quit?
I worked my whole 3 months like I said I was going to do, and because there you work 3 months for training. Mm-hmm. And after that, that's when you stop for real. So I told them I was gonna work 3 months, and I did. And then afterwards, I put in my 2 weeks. But I was a good worker, so they told me if I ever wanted to come back, let them know, and I have a job.
Would you go back just to experiment?
Nah.
Sometimes I'm in like drive-throughs, because I worked at McDonald's when I was in high school.
Okay.
And I had fun.
For real?
So sometimes I'm like, I would go back and work just for like a day. But it's hard work. We just standing
there all day. I had a homeboy working at McDonald's, and I used to love after he get off, because he would always bring like 50 pieces of nuggets and stuff like that home. So that was the best part of that.
We had fun. They used to get to fighting them. One guy was fucking everybody on the staff. Like,
Okay. So fun. Y'all was different.
We were young though, so. Well, he wasn't. He was like 30, and we were all like, it has to, you know how they go. Anywho. So. Okay, how did you, okay, so after, what was your first job after college?
Well, after that, the next summer, I got hired at Foot Locker. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I always wanted to work at Foot Locker for some reason. I guess because of shoes and all that, and it seemed cool. It's like, every time I go in Foot Locker, like, the people that work there seem cool. And I worked there for, like, four years, I think. Yeah.
And so, how did you get your start with your shoe empire? Because, I mean, having three locations is insane. How did you get started?
So, my last semester of college, I took a study abroad trip. And when I was in London, I seen a store that was similar, but it was like a pop-up. It was like they were only there for like a week. But when I went in, they had shoes everywhere. There was people in there trying to sell stuff, trade stuff. And I was just thinking, dang, this would be like so tight to have back home because we ain't got nothing like that. But I didn't think that I'd do it. I just thought it'd be cool. Then when I got back, I talked to my advisor, and he was like, I got to find an internship for my last semester after that to like close it out. So I was trying to find one for like months, and I couldn't. I was like the only person in my like major that couldn't find an internship. Internship, yeah.
Fun fact, my little sister just came back from the study abroad trip to London.
For real?
She got stuck over there for like 3 days being dumb, but she just came back, so.
Nah, it was a dope experience, but I was the only dude with like 20, 22 girls. So that was, it was different for sure, especially being around the same people for a month and being like the only guy. Especially when it's like.
How was it being the only guy with 22 girls?
20 white girls, is that?
How was that?
Interesting. It's like, at first it was cool, but after a while it gets a little tiring.
You know, they really sexualize black men, so were they kind of like, oh, Chris, you want to walk me back to my room?
Some were, I don't know. At a point, it started a little annoying because they was, not all of them, because a lot of them were super duper cool, and I'm still cool to this day. But some of them were like always complaining and whining and stuff like that. So, yeah. But
so you come back from London, you got this $1 million idea. Boom, where we at?
I didn't have the idea. Like I said, he told me I had to find an internship, and then I took some months trying to find one, couldn't find one, and after that, I went on a trip. Then when I came back from the trip, I was at my mom's store, and I looked across the street and saw a for rent sign, walked over there, and it so happened to be an empty shoe store, an old shoe store. Then that's when the two and two clicked together, and I was like, dang, I could put a store like I saw in London down here. So I called a number, even though I was broke, I still called a number and asked him how much for the rent. He told me like a super good price that I couldn't pass up. Like the price, still to this day, it's like four times less than any of our stores.
Really?
Yeah. So he told me that price, and I was like, I could make this work somehow. I told my mom, she was all for it. Then I called my boss and was like, since I can't find an internship, if I can open my own business by the time the semester ends, will that count as a grade? He was like, if I could open it before the end of semester, then yeah, cool. So that's when I got to work.
This is so interesting. We're going to take a quick break. Got so many questions. All right, so we are back, and we are getting to the meat of how the first store was opened.
Yep.
So you had until the end of the semester to make it happen. How did you come up with the capital to open the first store?
So as you know, students who do, I forgot what it's called, aid, whatever it is, but they get a refund check.
Mm-hmm.
And for some odd reason, my last two refund checks were the most I ever got while I was in college, all 5.5 years.
This is a teachable moment, guys. He didn't spend his refund check on the club or...
I did. Not the club per se, because I don't the club. But the first 4 years of refund checks, I blowed that.
We're not talking about the first 4 years.
Oh, yeah, I blowed that.
We're talking about...
I blowed that.
Okay, so college seniors only.
Right. last year.
Use your refund check for something productive. Create a nest egg or something. Because this guy was able to start a banging business by using his refund check. So go ahead.
Because I knew that it's probably gonna be my last refund check I was getting, because it didn't like I was going back to college after that. Nah, I was done after I graduated. So instead of blowing that one, I invested it. I paid the first 2 months rent, got the lights turned on, started buying inventory.
That's what I was interested in, because I was like, was he selling his own shoes? How did that work? Did you just kind of order from wholesalers, or?
So I was on different sites and stuff. Grail, eBay, Kicksify, just seeing deals for shoes, buying them. And then I had friends, all my friends in the shoes, buying stuff from them. But I didn't have any business knowledge, so I didn't know about business licenses and stuff like that I have to do. So I spent almost all my money on inventory and getting a building ready that I didn't have no money for licenses and stuff like that. All the stuff, business stuff I had to do. So that's when I started selling my personal collection.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, how was that? Were you just kind of like...
It hurt. I ain't gonna lie. It hurt a little bit, but it was like...
I had to do
what I had to do. And I knew in the back of my mind, if this turned out to be successful, I could buy everything back that I once had. So back then, I probably had like 70 pair of shoes. I sold everything except 3 pair.
Really? Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I was actually...
How did you sell them? Were you kind of like on Facebook or like your friends?
It's crazy how stuff works. So my brother, he always sell his shoes. He wear them for a while, get the fits off and whatnot. Then after that, he sell them and buy some new. He was selling them to this guy out in Birmingham who had his own... he had his own website, but you had to pay a subscription to buy shoes from him because he was selling shoes for a good price. So he was getting paid twice. He was getting paid when people bought the shoes, and he was getting paid from subscriptions. He was getting paid in his sleep. I thought that was like the coolest idea ever. So he was selling shoes to him.
Did the subscription cost go toward your final cost of the shoe?
Nah, it was, say if a shoe was worth $500, he was selling it for $300 on his site. So he was selling it for a deal already. So in order to buy that deal, you had to subscribe.
That's really smart.
Nah, that was super dope. So I hit my brother up and asked him who he was selling shoes to. And it so happened to be my business partner now. Yeah, it's crazy how stuff worked out. So I hit him up and told him I had some stuff for sale. At first I sold him like 6-pack, just a few. Because, I don't know, shoes kind of like babies. It's like, they're hard to let go.
This is the conversation for the sneakerheads. Right. Because I was sitting here telling him I wore the only pair of Nikes I had to be like, hey, I like sneakers. And I have terrible taste in tennis shoes. But for the sneakerheads, y'all have a hard time letting shoes go.
It's attachment issues for sure. So I sold him like a few at first and paid them bills off. After I did that, something else came up, like fire hazards, and I had to get shelves built, have to buy it. There's stuff kept popping up. So every time something popped up, I sold him some more. Then after a while, he asked me why I was selling so much stuff, because I was selling him good stuff.
Like, he was like, what the fuck is going on?
Stuff that he don't see in stores nowhere in Alabama, and stuff that's hard to come across. And I sold them for good prices because I need the money. I wasn't trying to make the most off of it. I was trying to get quick cash.
I think in this situation, a lot of people would have been like, well, let me ask my mom, or let me ask somebody close to me to try to help me. What kind of kept you from asking for help?
Like I said, I grew up with 9 people in the house, and it was always friends over. And I seen my mom and stepdad try to provide for their big family, and they did a hell of a job, even to this day. Like, I don't know how they did it for real, and still had money left over to do what they wanted to do. But growing up, I always didn't like asking for help. I guess because of that, and probably because of little daddy issues, low key, in the back of my mind.
It's okay, I got daddy issues too.
He wasn't always there. So
you feel like that made you a little more independent?
Yeah, because I felt like I didn't want to have to rely or depend on or need anybody for nothing. So
did you guys ever have that conversation when y'all got a little closer?
Nah, we just focused on our
present.
Yeah, focused on our thing, near our relationship. Like I said, before he died, me and him were probably in the best spot we ever been in. Mm-hmm. We talked more often, like I said, we went out, stuff like that. But I feel like as growing up, I never really liked asking people for help. Even though you should ask people for help, because it can take a lot of tension and stress and stuff off of you. But
we might have that in common. I don't ask anybody for anything. It's a part of me that can't.
Even to this day, I don't. And like the first couple years, I didn't even like hire nobody because I was so stuck in my ways of doing stuff myself and making.
Is that when you only had one location?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah. So I forgot where I was when I was trying to get to the story.
About how you got the capital to purchase.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I started selling him more shoes, and he asked me why I was like selling him this stuff, and I told him I was trying to open up my own store, and he was like, "Cool, bet." And to let him know when and where. So on the first day, he was like the first person in line.
Oh, you had a line?
Yeah, I had a little line.
How was your promotion? Tell me how you promoted the business.
So, word of mouth and Instagram. Instagram is the best promotional thing you can have because it's free, and also people can, I mean, it's Instagram. So, if you post it, people are going to share it. If they like it, people are going to see it because it's visible. Twitter, it's cool too, but it's not as like visible as Instagram to me. So even to this day, our main thing for ads is like Instagram. Mm. So post on Instagram, people start sharing it. The post got like 800 likes or something like that.
He's smiling a little bit, y'all, because this is a proud ass story. I'm like, this is great.
Ain't even that. I don't really think about stuff I did in the past until like people ask about it, because I'm always so focused on what's next or stuff I'm trying to do afterwards. So it's cool to see, you know, where it all started and talk about it. But so the first day he pulled up, he bought damn near half the store.
Really?
Yeah. Like the first day I made like $3,000, and I thought I was like balling.
What was your expected, like what did you expect to make?
I didn't even expect nothing. Like, of course, I expect to sell stuff, but I didn't put no expectations on it because I feel like, even me personally, I don't expect a lot of people or nothing, because high expectations get let down a lot.
You think so?
I know so.
I think that when people go through certain difficult situations, we lose our, like, trust in humanity, and right. It allows us to, like, have new situations, and I think it's okay to jump.
Nah, for sure. But I feel like that afterwards. Like, don't expect so much before it happens. Like, put your best foot forward and always expect the best. But, you know, if it's not a good day, it's another day after that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I never get too high or too low. And I think that's what keeps me grounded and balanced now. Because even when stuff going good, I'm not out here bragging or trying to stun on people, none of that. Because I know stuff can go bad just as quick. And if stuff going bad, I don't get too depressed or sad because it's not the end of the world.
So. Have you experienced any difficulty during this process?
Hell yeah, for sure. Oh, it was...
We're going to stop right here, guys, okay, for a quick break. All right, so we are back here with Mr. Chris Smooth, one of the owners of Memory Lane, which is a really popular shoe store. And so we left off talking about some difficult times that he's experienced. So we're just going to dive right back into it.
Yeah. So like I said, the first day I made like 3K thinking I was balling. Second day was pretty good too. I made around the same or a little less. So I'm thinking every day like it's going to be like that, which changed the next week. So after that, it was like a lot of long days, a lot of like, some days I'd be in there, and then I was the only person working there for like the first 5 months. So some days I'll be the only person in there. It's only, and I work for open and close, only one person come in. Some days I'll fall asleep and somebody come in and wake me up.
Oh my God.
Get up. So, and that was like months, but it seemed like almost every month towards the end, my now business partner, he would come in and buy almost everything I got for his site. So he helped pay the bills a lot.
That's awesome. So did y'all kind of build a friendship?
Yeah.
Or at first was it just kind of transactional?
Of course, it was just a business at first because I ain't know him, he ain't know me. And I got a lot of friends, so I like making new ones, but I don't really care to make new ones because it's hard to keep up with the ones that I, you know what I'm saying, yeah. I got now. So it was just business. Then after a while, he came to the grand opening, started talking more. Then he'd come at the end of every month. The store would be empty, like no customers in there. So it'd just be me and him. We'd talk for probably like an hour. And then it got to a point where people, because the store is like a buy, sell, and trade store. So people would come in and try to sell shoes all the time. Mm-hmm. And I buy some, but I couldn't buy all because I wasn't making money like that. Mm-hmm. So I had to turn some good stuff too. I had to turn it down because I couldn't afford it.
I just want to say I really appreciate the transparency because a lot of people just act like, oh, it's always just like rainbow and sunshine. Hell no. So
I'm going to keep it a G for sure. But,
was there ever a time you felt like you may have had to close the store?
Hell yeah. That was actually the month before he joined. I got behind on rent two going on 3 months. It wasn't three yet, but it was almost three. But our landlord was super cool, super lenient. He was like a 90-year-old person. So he understood, but at the same time, it's still business. Like, he was like, I gotta, you know what I'm saying, gotta catch up. I got behind on the power bill and stuff like that. But, so, like I said, people were coming in selling shoes all the time that I couldn't afford. So, I don't know why, but in my head, something just went off and was like, he got a site that he needs shoes for all the time. I can call him and tell him that stuff that I'm passing out on, ask him if he wanted. So I did that, and he was like, yeah. So he started coming to the store one day a week to buy shoes for his site. And he leave out with like 40 pair of shoes per day each time he do it. And then he'll break me some off on the back end for doing that for him. And then once I got behind, this probably was like 4 months after I opened. So like I said, I opened in December and I was close to closing it down in like April because it wasn't working out at first. But I ain't never get like discouraged. I always figured I'd make a way or make it happen. So I came up with the idea that since he's always here at least once a week, I'm gonna call him and ask him if he wanna like just become like a full-time partner, mm-hmm. and help me with this, because and then he'll have an income from online and income in the store. Mm-hmm. And I called him, it's funny now because looking back on it, because he told me the story, but when I called him, he was like, I don't know, I'll think about it. But then he called me back like 5 minutes, literally like 5 minutes after I called him. He's like, yeah, I do, I'll try it out. But I talked to him probably like a year after that, and we talked about it. And he was like, at first he was like, no. In his mind, like when I was trying to sell it to him, he was like, nah, I ain't gonna do that. Then
did he say what the reason was that he was kind of hesitant?
Yeah. I say after I talked to him, he called, I think, one of his friends or some of his close friends and like told him about it. They was like, bro, what you doing? You can jump on that. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's a great opportunity. And so after he talked to him, they definitely called me back. But he's kind of like, he's a present person. Like he lives in the moment and thinks about the now. He don't really look into
long term.
Yeah. So
how do you guys work together? Because you seem like you're a little bit analytical and you got a partner who may be a little bit impulsive, but it sounds like you guys might balance each other out.
It's actually the opposite. I'm kind of the impulsive one, mm-hmm. and he's kind of the
level-headed guy
and a analytical one. Like, and that's why we work so well together, because everything that I'm not very good in, he's good in. Everything he's not very good in, I'm good in. Like, I'm super creative and stuff like that. He's not so much, but he's super business oriented. So anything, like, I have these big ass ideas and I bring it to him, and he'll be like, okay, so how can we make this work in our budget? Because the stuff that I think about be probably way above our budget, but then he'll bring it down. We find a way to, like, make it work, pretty much. And he's a morning person. I'm not.
You're not a morning person? Is that why you were falling asleep in the store?
Probably. Not even that. I fall asleep because I was the only one in there for 6 hours.
Okay. So tell me how you guys stumbled upon multiple locations. How did that start?
So he joined after 5 months. And the first day he came, he brought some of the inventory with him and, like, filled the store out. Because when I first opened, I had, like, 50 pairs of shoes. But when he came, that turned to hundreds and now thousands. But, yeah, the first day, it was a success. People came in buying stuff, and that day, it just took off, like, another level. And after then, we didn't look back. And so fast forward to 2020, when COVID happened, we had to close down.
Your cup is like, you see how you pointed this out earlier.
Okay, my bad. So 2020, when COVID happened, our store had to close, but we started our online site. So we still were buying shoes, we just weren't selling them in person, but we ship them. Mm-hmm. So people will come in, make appointments, and we buy shoes. So we had so many shoes. Like, we had more shoes in the back that weren't put out than shoes that were on the floor put out.
Well, hold on, I do want to pause, because when we took a little break, he told me a really interesting story, and I know we didn't just jumped over it.
Yeah.
But he does have a location out of state, and you said it did get robbed. So I do want to hear about that experience.
Now or?
Now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to just tie everything together real quick. So we had so many shoes that one of his friends from Georgia came down, and he had just lost his job from COVID, and he told him the idea about having a store in Georgia, that because it's not a store like that out there. He told me about it, and I was like, I'm down, because if a store first opened, the store has to buy inventory to put in their store.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily for us, all we had to do was find a building, because we had the inventory to just already put in there. So he told me about it. I agreed. The next week, literally, me and him were in Georgia trying to find spots. We looked at about 4 spots, found one. The next week, we were trying to sign a lease and everything. Then a month after that is I think we opened. And
how was the grand opening in Atlanta?
It was lit. It was a line down the block.
And you guys built that buzz through Instagram as well?
Yep, Instagram and word of mouth. And of course, our store down here had like probably like 10,000 followers at the moment, something like that. Somewhere around that. And we told them about the store in Georgia we're opening too. So those customers came too. And yeah, it was lit. I'll say that story what really took us to another level and showed us, like, it's more out here
than just Birmingham.
What we know. Yeah.
Okay, so then boom, somebody broke in.
Yeah, so somebody broke in this year for the first time. I think it's the first time somebody broke in, but they went to the back and turned the power off, thinking that it's gonna like disable our like alarm system and all that, but our alarm works without power.
Surprise.
Yeah. So when they broke the window, and our alarm loud as shit, cause I got caught with it one time. I was trying to close up and I forgot the code and I didn't type it in time, and that shit started.
Did the police come?
Yeah, they came.
Oh my God.
But the alarm was so loud that shit made my head hurt. But yeah, so the alarm start going off, and I guess they panicked, and they didn't want to have like an empty trip, so they took like 20 display shoes, all left shoes, no pairs, no rights, all left shoes they took.
And so as a result, you guys had to get rid of like the right shoes. Yep. You just had to throw them away.
I don't know what we did with them, but I don't know. They probably still there, honestly, but we can't do that with them. Like, unless somebody come in with one leg and, you know,
trying to get clean. So, I'm going to go. We're going to just end the fight. So, there was an incident where a lady drove her car.
Yeah, so this happened last year, and it went viral, but I had to take it off because her license plate was showing, okay. And it was like, I can get sued or something like that. But, yeah, so... I wasn't there. I was actually here, and I was sleeping when it happened. But I woke up to a text. Not even no missed calls. The text was like, to the video.
That's they just sent you the video?
No words or no explanation or nothing. So I was watching it, and it started off slow. So I'm thinking, like, somebody was probably stealing or doing something funny. And as I'm watching, I see the car getting closer and closer in the back. Then, boom, like, her whole car drive into our store. And at first I just woke up, so I'm thinking I'm dreaming. So then I just kept watching it about 3 or 4 times, and I thought it was fake at first too. And then that's when I called the people there and was like, what the hell happened?
Are you serious?
Well, I didn't call them at first. I checked our cameras live and seen it was a car in the middle of our store still. And that's when I called, like, what the hell happened?
What was, like, the first thing you thought when you seen the car in the lobby?
I actually was laughing, low-key.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's, like, something you would never expect or, like, predict. It's, like, out of all stores, you know, it had to be ours. So, it was, like, something you can't really control, too. So, I ain't really tripped too much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. All right, so... Now, based on your experience in the entrepreneur world, what is some advice you would give a young entrepreneur that's coming up right now?
So, I would say do what you love, because doing what you love will surpass all the money in the world. Because it's something you like doing. It's something you can wake up and be happy to go to instead of doing something for money that you dread and... You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And also, don't let other people discourage you. Because I told a lot of people, well, not a lot of people because I'm kind of private, but I told my close people around me that I was trying to do a shoe store investment. And a few of them didn't believe that it was possible. Mm. But I didn't let that, you know what I'm saying, change my opinion on it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm in the process of developing an app. I think that's one of the things we talked about when we met. And a lot of my family is like, girl, be realistic. And it hurts a little bit, but it's just like...
No, see, that's the thing. That's their reality, not yours. Because people only know what, you know what I'm saying, know what they've seen or how far they can do things. But everything had to start from somewhere. So somebody had to start that. So in order for that to happen, somebody has to do it. And so I feel like it's a few stores that's around now that's like mine, but I feel like if it wasn't for me doing that, people wouldn't know that it was possible.
The blueprint.
Yeah.
Chris is the blueprint. Memory Lane is the blueprint for Fuck Foot Locker. Okay. So now one of the things I want to circle back to is we discussed you being single earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I probably will get some inquiries about you once I post the interview.
Uh-huh.
What are some of the do's and don'ts to trying to get to know Chris?
Do's and don'ts.
We'll start with the turnoffs. Yeah, turnoffs
is, I don't know. If you don't have a sense of humor, that's like... Number one, like, okay, this ain't gonna work.
Okay, so serious women, and go ahead.
Not saying, you know what I'm saying? You can be serious, but at the same time, like, take a joke.
You gotta have balance.
No, I'm saying, don't take yourself so serious. Life ain't that serious, you know what I'm saying? So, That's number one. Number two is always being so like self-centered, like self-indulgent, like always thinking about yourself. Always, you know what I'm saying? Always. It's kind of hard to explain.
Being like a narcissist, the world just revolves around you.
Yeah, that. It's like that's a turn off. And I say number three is somebody that thinks they're better or bigger than other people around them. I like people that's humble and centered.
Jinx.
Down to earth. Yeah.
So, what are some of the do's for Chris?
Sense of humor.
What's the way to your heart? Does it matter if a girl can cook?
I used to think it didn't, but now I probably.
Can you cook?
I can't. Well, I think I can, but I've never tried, so.
You never tried to cook?
Nah, because in my family, everybody cooks. So, like,
I never had to.
My mom cooked, my stepdad cooked, my older brother cooked, my older sister cooked, my little sister cooked, the five that's adopted, some of them cooked. So, I never really had to, so.
So, okay, you gotta have a good sense of humor.
And plus, now that I'm single, I eat out damn near every single day. So
Chris is snug.
I know, so you gotta learn how to, you gotta know how to cook to catch my attention.
Okay, so what else? Good sense of humor, knows how to cook, one last thing.
Have something going for themselves, like have some type of ambition or like some goal you're going towards, because I feel like that drives a person in all aspects of life, per se. It's like, I don't want a stay-at-home girlfriend unless we, like, have children and she chooses to do that.
Mm-hmm. But so there's an option there.
Yeah, if she wants to. But if we don't have any children, I wouldn't want that person to be a stay-at-home girlfriend. I mean, both of us could be attacking these things and
bringing multiple all incomes into the home. Yeah. Now, in your profession, are you ever kind of scared of running into women with like bad intentions, gold diggers, and things of that nature?
Yeah, I am now. First starting out, I wasn't. And what's crazy is that not too many people try to like talk to me because of what I do, I would say.
What do you mean, like approach you romantically?
Not even now. Like, girls don't really approach me that know me off the rip, I should say. Like, they don't find out what I do or who I am till afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But and I can tell the difference between somebody that's trying to talk to me for what I do rather than who I am. And I can say I've not come across a lot of girls that try to talk to me for what I do.
Have you though at all?
Yeah, it's been a couple, of course. But
how does that work out?
Then
the thing is, like, I get caught in these conversations a lot, but a lot of women have the logic that, well, you want to sleep with me, so why can't I want, you know, something from you in return? Which
to me,
it's subjective, I think.
I don't look down on them for that.
They just can't bring that shit over here, huh?
Nah, they can't. Like, I only allow it to go as far as I want it to go. Like, I haven't turned down every girl that tried to talk to me because of what I do. Some of them, I entertain, but only for how long, or, you know what I'm saying, for what I choose to do.
Oh, God. Okay, we're going to switch gears.
It sounds bad, but it's not.
I mean, every relationship is transactional, and I think, especially if the intent is not one of good intent, then it is what it is.
Yeah. So
why did your last relationship not work out?
Oh, we're going deep. Okay, let's take a little sip.
Take a little sip of wine.
So, it's a lot of reasons I can throw out there, but I was told it was because of my communication or lack of communication thereof, but and I can see that.
But when you got the feedback,
it was mutual.
Did you try to like improve?
Not off the rip. I was kind of defensive, as you know what I'm saying. That's normal though, but
it's not.
feel like if somebody, you know, somebody tells you something about you that you don't really know, that off the rip, you're going to be defensive. You're like, what? I do that. You know what I'm saying? So I was there for a while. But as I've gotten older and time has passed, I can see that for sure. You know what I'm saying? And not, okay, I'm not like focused on working on that, because I'm not trying to be somebody's man. Right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody's.
But it's always in my mind of how can I improve that and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. But the last thing I want to ask is, if there was anything you could change about your journey to memory lane, what would it be?
I say seeking help earlier, like seeking somebody who's like-minded and can do what I do, instead of trying to take on the whole task myself and feeling like, you know, like it was kind of selfish in a way, because I was feeling like that. I was feeling like I did this, like I made this. You know what I'm saying? Like I ain't need no help. I ain't need nobody for nothing. But you know, that's cool and all, you know, to say that. But I feel like if anything is gonna get bigger and greater, help is needed along the way. And I feel like people taking those burdens and stress off you is, you know, is key in all. And all aspects of life, not just business, too. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been another episode of DD's Daily Dose. I'm here with Chris Smooth. And you guys need to shop at Memory Lane. What are the locations here?
Birmingham, Bessemer, and Douglasville, Georgia.
All right. Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.